If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to turn with me. You know, Jessica said something interesting to me a few weeks ago, or maybe she said it to my wife. And I thought it was kind of funny, but she says some interesting things, I have to tell you. She said, because she comes to both services, she says two services are better than one. Two services are better than one. Now, I don't know how you say that in French, but I don't know. John, how do you say that in French? Okay. Hey, she smiled. She smiled. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. And I want to share for a few moments on the topic, making it through tough times together. Making it through tough times together. And I don't think things are going to get easier. I think things are going to get more difficult because we have not seen the full impact of all the job losses across our country. We have not seen the full impact of all the job losses across our country. Literally, thousands of people have lost their job in the hotel industry, in the restaurant industry, in those who fly aircrafts, in the aviation industry. Literally, thousands of people are out of work. And eventually, that's going to have an impact on our economy and how we live life. And so we have to be prepared spiritually. We have to be prepared spiritually. And we're also talking about the end times, the things that are going to be taking place on the face of the earth. These are the beginning, and I've said it many, many times. These are the beginning of sorrows. This is just the start of all the things that are taking place. And so we need to come together in Jesus' name. Let me say it again. We need to come together in Jesus' name. More than we have in the past, we need to come together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But remember the former days when you endured a harsh conflict of suffering. Those are impactful words. Harsh conflict of suffering. After you were enlightened, in other words, after you came to Christ, at times you were publicly exposed to abuse and afflictions. But notice what it says here. And at other times, you came to share with others who were treated in that way. So the church came alongside those who were being publicly exposed and abused and afflicted. They came alongside of those who were coming under intense persecution. Verse 34, for in fact you shared the sufferings of those in prison and you accepted the confiscation of your belongings with joy. Can you imagine someone coming into your house and taking everything and you're just full of joy? No, we have a lot of things that mean a lot to us, right? That are in our home. Or maybe you don't. But they responded with joy because you knew that you certainly had, I'm going to say this real slow, a better and lasting possession. And can I add, in heaven? In heaven. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that you will speak to us, that you will minister life to us through your precious word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. From these passages, we learn that the church was going through a time of intense persecution. They were being publicly exposed or shamed. You know, some pastors are afraid to open up their church because they're afraid of being shamed by the community. But we can't allow the community to direct the things and the affairs of God. Hello? The church is not a democracy. The church is a theocracy run by God. Jesus is the head of the church. Some were in prison, and as I said, others had their belongings taken from them. But two key elements from these verses help the church make it through. I'm going to step on some toes this morning. One was their constant belief that this earth was not their home. How many know we're just pilgrims on a journey to our eternal destination? Can somebody shout amen this morning? Our eternal destination. They had a home in heaven. The other is found in verse 34. They shared the sufferings of those in prison. Another translation says they became companions of those who were treated unfairly. Companions. They didn't run away from them. They ran to them to give comfort, encouragement. And I want to say this morning that sharing and gathering together are common themes that run all through the book of Acts. They lived their life together. Can I say that again? They lived their life together. And they were constantly encouraging and helping one another. Some people say, I don't need your help. Well, maybe not today. But there's going to come a time where God's going to break down that independent spirit that is festering in the body of Christ. That I can do it on my own. I can do it all by myself. Well, you know what? I've got news for you. Whether you like it or not, you can't do it by yourself. God never designed the church so you could do it by yourself. Hello? That's not how God designed the church. In this same chapter in Hebrews, we read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. And let us hold unwaveringly to the hope that we confess. For the one who made the promise is trustworthy. Oh, that sounds encouraging. And let us take thought of how to spur one another on to love and good works. How can we encourage each other to keep pressing on, to keep on the straight and narrow road? Verse 25. Not, and this is another translation, not abandoning. Another translation says not forsaking. Not forsaking or abandoning our own meetings. Boy, that's pretty clear, isn't it? As some are in the habit of doing. How many know there's a whole bunch of people in Creston that are in the habit of forsaking or abandoning the work of God, the gathering together of God's people? Because they think they can do it by themselves. But you know what? When we move outside the covering of the body of Christ, we open ourselves up to the attacks of the enemy. But look, encouraging each other. You know, people who are not interested in gathering together with the church are actually selfish because they don't have and they don't give the opportunity to encourage someone. Well, hear an amen or ouch or... And the Bible says we are to gather together even more as we see the day approaching. What is the day approaching? It's the coming of Jesus. It's the rapture of the church. It's the beginning of the tribulation. It's all the things that are spoken about in the book of Revelation. As we see these things approaching, we're not supposed to gather less and less and less. We are to gather more and more and more. Why? To encourage each other. Now, I'm not saying you have to be in a physical building to encourage someone. But I believe that the preached word of God should be an encouragement to you, to spur you on to encourage someone else. Now, let me just say a few things. The Christian life was never meant to be lived individually or all on your own. Hello? Can I say it again? And I'm saying it not for your sake. I'm speaking it out into the atmosphere. I'm speaking it out against demonic spirits. I'm declaring it against the forces of darkness over this town and over this valley. I speak forth the truth of God's word. That the Christian life was never meant to be lived individually or all on your own. God designed the church to function as a body. And when you woke up this morning, where was your arm? Was it in Wendell? Did I say that right? Was your foot over in West Creston? So you had to... Well, there's my foot. How did it get over here? When you woke up this morning, your arm was was attached to your body. Thank God for that, right? That's how you drove here. Your hand is attached to your arm. You didn't have to go looking for it today. You know, you didn't get a call from the police saying, you know what? We found your hand in Cranbrook. come and get it. Yeah. It's got your name on it. But we somehow think the church can function that way. We think the church can function that way. It can't. Not meant to function that way. God designed the church to function as a body, all the individual parts working together. When one suffers, we all suffer. When all the parts of the body are working in harmony with each other, doing what they are called to do, the church grows. And this is of utmost importance when tough times come. Can I say it again? This is of utmost importance when tough times come. Hey, they've already come. Did you know the amount of people that are living under the oppression of anxiety and depression right now, even in our own town, even in our own valley and across the country? People are losing it because God never designed us, even as humans, to live in isolation. And we should not be surprised at how the early church reacted to persecution. They were taught from the beginning the importance of being together and sharing. So if the devil ever puts in your head, that you don't need the church, you can do it on your own, I want to tell you this morning that that is a lie from the pit of hell. Come on, somebody. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You know what I find interesting as a pastor? Not just being a pastor, but people want nothing to do with the church. But when somebody dies, they call the pastor. Can you pray for me? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they were devoted, and they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. Devoting, that's a strong word. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is the word of God, and to fellowship. Two fellows in a ship. Not one, but two. You know, it's hard to fish and oar at the same time. Even God gave you a companion to help you in your time of distress. And I've had lots of those. Thank you, Gina. To the breaking of bread and to prayer. Reverential awe came over everyone, and many wonders and miraculous signs came about by the apostles. Look at verse 44. All who believed were together. Just saying. They were together. And held everything in common. What's yours is mine. And what's mine is my own. That's right. It's okay to laugh this morning. You know, it releases the tension. Yeah, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is mine. Yeah, no, that's not how it works. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Did I say it right? Yeah, okay, thank you. So there was a common sharing among. Do you ever think that possibly there could come a time in Creston that as a church, and I'm not talking about just Grace Christian Fellowship, but all the churches that are preaching the gospel are going to have to be willing to share with each other. Is that a possibility? That we're going to have to come together in a more united front and help each other. What if the government runs out of money? What if they stop giving the checks? We're going to need each other, amen? And held everything in common, and they began selling their property, their real estate. Boy, that takes a big commitment to be willing to sell your house, share the proceeds with the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean the building, but the people. And the Bible says, and possessions, and distributing the proceeds to everyone as anyone had need. And look at verse 46. Every day they continued. They kept on gathering together. You know, I personally feel that this pandemic is being used by the devil to keep the church from gathering together. Hello, someone. And you know, I was reading, because I'm reading through the Bible. I'm reading through the Bible, and now I'm in Exodus. And in Exodus, Moses came to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Let my people gather. Let my people come together again. Now, I know that we have online and streaming. I'm not against any of those things. But it's not the same as being together. I don't know why that is. I'm not saying those are bad things, but I'm just saying you can't compare the two. They continued to gather together by common consent in the temple courts, breaking bread from house to house, sharing their food. I thank God that in Creston, there is a sharing attitude, sharing your food with me. No. With each other. Isn't that a glorious thing? You know, I thank God I live in Creston. I really do. I wake up most mornings and I just thank God that I live here. I believe this is God's country. Hallelujah. This is God's territory. They were breaking bread from house to house, sharing their food with glad and humble hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number every day. Who's adding to the church? It's God who adds to the church. Every day, those who were being saved. Let me just say a few things about these verses. Verse 42, the word fellowship refers to the close association involving mutual involvement and relationships. You know, some people have walls around them. How many know what I'm talking about? They don't want to be known. Just let me come to church and let me go home. And don't bother me. Don't hassle me. But you know what? That's not the life of the church or the body of Christ. We have to be willing to be known with all our frailties, with all our shortcomings, because you've got a lot, and so do I. Quirks, little things about us that are different. That's the way God created us, right? Different. And we have to be willing to be known. And we should be willing to accept. That doesn't mean we stay where we are spiritually. And that doesn't mean that God's not working on us. But you know what? We're all on a journey, right? To become more and more like Jesus. So we have to accept that there's going to be some bumps on the road. Am I making sense this morning? Don't say anything. The Bible says they went from house to house eating together. They shared their possessions. So none of the believers were in need. Now I know that this concept, this whole concept the early church developed is sometimes hard for the church in the West, in North America, to comprehend. Now, I lived in Toronto, the GTA, for most of my ministry, and I can tell you, when I first pastored there, coming from the Maritimes, I wanted to visit people. And we would set up appointments, I would show up, and they wouldn't be home. Don't come to my house. If I have a problem, I'll call you. Just leave me alone. I remember someone went in the hospital, and they got out of the hospital. I didn't even know. They never said nothing. And I asked them later, I said, hey, you were in the hospital. I didn't even know you were in the hospital. Oh, don't worry about it. If it's real serious, I'll call you. What's that about? We are so individualistic. But I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit and everything that's happening in our world, we are called by the Holy Ghost to come together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So I believe with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can change. One last verse, Acts 4 and 31. They faced persecution. They were told in no uncertain terms, don't sing in church. Oh, that's now. You know, I can never figure out that's the singing part. Because when you're singing in church, you're singing into the back of someone's head. Right? Isn't that true? How can you get the virus when someone's singing into the back of your head? I don't get that. They were told not to preach the gospel, to stop declaring the name of Jesus. It hasn't come to that yet. But a whole bunch of churches here in BC have signed a petition. I've included my own, this church, into that petition. At least 100 churches who have said, we want to open further. We want more people to be able to come to church. And I am thankful today that our district has signed that petition. That's good. When they had prayed, after they had come together, after being told, don't preach the gospel, the place where they were assembled together, notice, they were assembled together. When they faced persecution, they came together. Hallelujah. Say, well, we can do that on Zoom. Zoom is good. I'm not against Zoom. Not against Zoom. But in this verse, they came together. Did you know that it's been almost 1,500 years since the church never had an Easter Sunday service in church? It's been 1,500 years or more since the church has had a two-month hiatus from coming together. It's been hundreds, thousands of years. They came together during the Black Plague. They came together in wars. They came together constantly. They would gather together. Exactly. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Oh, how we need that, folks. This is Pentecost Sunday today. How we need a divine, holy shaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say into the spiritual realm today, Lord, bring it on. Hallelujah. Shake us with the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. They weren't just filled so they could feel good and get a tingling in their body. No, the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Friends, we have to come together. Tough times are upon us and they're going to get worse. But I believe we can make it through together as the body of Christ. I know we're separated. The pandemic has created this atmosphere. But I believe that through it, as we come together, God is going to do some amazing things in our midst in the name of Jesus. I felt it this morning, the beginning of something powerful that's going to happen in our assembly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm believing that God is going to bring each of the evangelical churches in this town together in the name of Jesus. I've stayed in contact with Pastor Herman through this, and this past week, I had lunch or I had coffee with Pastor Raff from the Baptist Church. And you know what? We need to come together in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you this morning. Lord, we are.